I believe that God reveals himself to us through other people. And God gives us the ability to nurture greatness wherever we go. And I have had the opportunity to meet one of the most dynamic, loving couples I've ever met in my entire life. I've never said this before to you, but I will tell you, I asked my wife the other day, we're having dinner. I said, honey, I said, if Jesus Christ himself, 2,000 years ago, that same guy shows up today and he says, I'm looking for some disciples who will follow me. And then I ask, what would that look like today, in today's time, where Jesus Christ shows up and he has disciples? What does that look like? And so she said some things and I said, can I tell you what I think it looks like? I think it looks like Abby and Esmond Brown. I've never met someone who has been willing at their stage of life to just give up everything to seek God and to lay hold of a saving knowledge of him. I actually met them, just so you know, I'm an Uber driver extraordinaire. And I've been doing it for 3 years now. I have over 1,200 trips. People have been have given their life to Christ in the car, in the back seat, front seat. They've gotten a car drunk and became sober as I started to speak. People have written on the app in terms of comments for the ride, this man literally saved my life. One day, about almost 2 years ago, we had Jonathan Shuttlesworth come, and he actually came to the Allentown area, and we all volunteered to help. So we were over at Central Assembly during the leadership and preparation for that week's event. And then as that finished up, I just got in my car, and then Holy Spirit says, okay, put your app on. We're going to do some Ubering. And then when I pulled out, as soon as I put it on in the parking lot at Simply Central, I pulled out, and the bing goes off, bing, 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 bing. And then I pull up to the stop sign at the corner of the church, and it's Abby and Esmond. And then they say, they get in the car, and they were like, how did you get here so quick? And then their ride, we were going to the hotel that you're staying at, was in Bethlehem somewhere, and it was probably no more than 7 minutes, I don't think. But when they got out of the car, they looked at each other and said, boy, is this guy from heaven or earth? I mean, what's going on? Is he an angel? Who was that? What was going on? And then from that time forward, they have been in my life. You know, the goal of a mentor is to shorten your time of promotion. Your friends celebrate where you are. Your mentors celebrate where you're going. I have been able to see them grow from the standpoint of how do we do this. Abby worked for Fordham University for 17 years. She has multiple degrees. Esmond also works for the Better Business Bureau of New York City. They literally walked away from all of that and said, you know what? There's more. What they were saying there's more of is more. There's more in terms of learning how to be totally dependent upon God. You know, a lot of people have 401ks and think they're okay, and they're really not. Because their dependency isn't God. Even though God gives them and uses tools, but we often, sometimes if we're not mindful, can miss the place of the purpose of the tool. So I see Abby and Esmond, and this is, they're just amazing. They've gone to RBI, and they have been there now, going on their second year, completing their second year, and they're all straight-A students. They've done phenomenally well there. Jonathan Shuttlesworth, they'll tell you their story, invited them to go to the school, and they've just been with them for, you know, many years now. So I would ask that you love them with your ears today. Love them with your heart today, opened. This is their first time as they've learned things and God ministering from River Bible Institute and the like. So they're going to tell you about their experiences, okay? So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome both Esmond and Abby Brown straight from heaven to all of us.
So thank you for allowing us to be here and for sharing your worship with us, allowing us to be a part of it. This was very precious. Really enjoyed the worship. I found a new song to download. And basically, I'm not going to be long right at this moment. My wife, she's going to talk about what we do at RBI as far as evangelism and some of our experience. And she's going to flow in that, however the Holy Spirit leads her. And then if there's time, then I'll be back to share a short message. I literally just whisper in the air, remember, just flow. So it's kind of like, you know, not to worry about, oh, my husband has to speak or anything like that. Just let the Lord use her. The one thing I want to share is it's definitely for a fact that I'm standing right next to the most beautiful woman in the world.
Yay!
And did I made it over or what? Did I hit the jackpot or what? It is. Life is. I've actually been saying this for a couple months. Life has been good on my side of the Jordan. It really has been. And there's no need for me to cross over. But I'm going to leave you in my wife's hands, and she's going to she's gonna talk to me about what God has been doing in Florida with us and how we got started. All right. God bless you. I'll be back.
Good morning, everyone. It's an honor and a privilege to be here, and thank you for having us. And I wanted to share a little bit about our journey that we went through to get to where we're at now. And first and foremost, I just wanted to say just the fact that I'm standing here in front of you holding a mic is a miracle in itself, because from the time when I was a child and growing up through most of my life, I had a very big fear of speaking in public. And so much so that, you know, in school, high school, and college, they would ask me to speak in front of the classroom. And I remember one time in high school, I had to give like a 2-minute presentation on just like a few pages of a book we were reading. And I got so scared that I'm sitting there knowing I'm going next and my heart is pounding. I get up there and I just like totally panicked and ran out of the classroom, locked myself in the girls' bathroom stall. Until the bell rang and the teacher had to excuse me from giving the presentation. So that's how bad my fear was. And even in college, doing my master's program in mental health counseling, of all things, it was my first introductory class, and we had to give a speech. And actually, we had to basically teach the class. It was a group project we had to do. And I started having a panic attack at the beginning of class. And I'm like, God, I need you to help me right now. I know I'm not preaching. I'm doing a school project. But I need your help right now in order to get through this. And thankfully, I was like the third person in. So I'm standing like behind the podium, facing like windows behind me. And I'm literally praying for God to like help me through this and calm myself enough down to like be able to give the presentation. No one ever thought that anything was wrong, not realized that I had just experienced a full-blown panic attack. But I thank the Lord God has delivered me from that. And and I'm able to be here right now speaking to all of you. So it's an encouragement to all of you that no matter what fear that you're facing, or no matter what, you know, if you're self-conscious about yourself, or you're concerned that you're not good enough, or you don't have enough skills, or whatever the reason you have for not doing something, it's not an excuse, because God can use you regardless. And it's not you that's doing the work, it's God that's doing the work through you. When I was 19 years old, I was at a youth retreat and I answered a call to preach. And when they gave the altar call, I didn't want to go up front at first. And I was fighting. I was standing there at my seat, and they were saying, you know, we're giving a call. It was they were talking that weekend about gifts and talents, and they the first call that they gave was for those called to preach. And I was like, God, I'm not called to preach. I can't talk. I can't. You know, when they make a call for something music related, singing relating, I'll go off for that. I'm not preaching. I'm not called to preach. I can't do that. Like, God, I can't. I just can't. And people went up front, and then they gave a second call and were like, there's people who are here who did not answer the call to preach, who are called to preach, and I'm going to give you a second chance because, you know, God wants you to answer this call. And I literally felt the Holy Spirit push me out of my seat, push me down the aisle through the crowd that was already there gathered at the altar, all the way to the front. It was like 10 to 12 people deep, all the way to the front. And I started speaking in tongues when I got up there, and God dealt with me. I didn't hear any of the other calls that came forth, and God was just dealing with me up there. And ever since then, you know, God has been using me in various ways to speak in front of people. So fast forwarding to after Esmond and I met and we got married, October 2014, we met Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth, and in a small church in Queens, and he called us out. He actually jumped over a few benches to like get to us because it was so crowded that there wasn't room to get through. He gave my husband and I a word, spoke a word of healing over me. I had a ton of health issues that I was dealing with at the time. God healed me and healed my husband at the same time. And we began following Evangelist Jonathan's ministry. January 2015, we did the 40-day fast that he did to start out the new year. And through that fast, God started speaking to us about things that God wanted us to do, things that we're doing now. And we started seeing small glimpses of it, having dreams of us always having our bags packed, and we were either getting ready to travel or coming back from traveling, traveling three times in like a 6-week period. And during that point in time, we didn't have funds. We were like, we don't know how that would happen. We wouldn't be able to afford it. We have never like really traveled like that before. God, how are you going to bring this about? We always considered ourselves New Yorkers. We were like, God, you know, like this is our home. We're not moving from here. And then God gives Esmond a word. He hears the audible voice of God. He wakes up one morning and God's saying one word, relocation. And we were like, God, where do you want us to relocate to? And we didn't know at first, but we were like, God, whatever you want us to do, wherever you want us to go, we will do that. Then in the spring of 2015, we saw a video online from Anne Graham Lotz, who, Billy Graham's daughter, and who put out a video asking the church to pray on behalf of the nation. That was when all the rioting was going on in the Northeast, and she was making a call out to the churches to pray, and that there would be a 9-day fast in May to pray for the nation. We both looked at each other and said we both felt that's something that we should participate in. So we wrote down the date, and then when that date came, we did the 9-day fast, and we felt to not only just pray for the nation, but to ask God, God, what role do you want us to play in turning this nation around? And it was really impressed on our hearts, and we knew that was a scary question because we know what God was going to ask us to do and what that would mean. But we really felt impressed on our heart to use that 9-day fast to pray and ask God, not only for the nation, but what role did he want us to play in turning the nation around? And you could get the first video ready. The FOL one, the first. And so then after the 9-day fast, right at the end of the 9-day fast, when we concluded the fast, within a couple of hours later, we were both online, and all of a sudden, Evangelist Jonathan posts this video.
What's up? This is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I'm so glad you're watching. I want to take a few minutes and just share the most powerful thing that's happened in our ministry to date. No question about it, Satan is targeting the inner cities of America. I think you've seen that in St. Louis, most recently in Baltimore, and who knows what's going to happen from now till the time that you get this video. Jesus prophesied that things are going to get worse, not better. And it's clear that where it's going to fester is in the inner cities of America. As I was meditating on this and praying about it, I said, Lord, if you would please give me a platform to do something about this. I know the common response is for everybody to just say, let's pray, but there needs to be more done than just prayer. Somebody needs to go in and let the light of the gospel drive the devil out of these cities. I was asking God about that at night, and what I didn't know was when I had been preaching about the state of the inner cities. A lady that was connected to the city government in Philadelphia informed the city government that there was a Pentecostal evangelist in the city who wants to do something about the problems in Philadelphia. And so that next day I was contacted by a woman named Majida Rashid, who asked me if we could meet and discuss what I had in mind. I met with her for about 2 hours. We prayed together, and now things are underway to hold an open-air, overseas-style meeting in Philadelphia, which I don't believe will be the last city meeting that we do. I believe this is something God is going to open up to us from now until we're raptured. This is not a time to watch Satan take over our nation. And it's not time to say, let's pray for our country. God has given us more to do than just pray. He's filled us with His Spirit and given us the Word of God to go in and remind the enemy that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all the inhabitants that dwell therein. Salvation through Jesus Christ is the only remedy for what's going on in America. And so I want to ask you, will you be a part of this great move of God that we're underway with right now? We have the permits filed. We're scheduled right now to go into Nicetown in Philadelphia, the second most violent part of Philadelphia, one of the top 10 violent places in the nation. August 23rd through the 29th. August 23rd through the 29th, open air meeting. And then listen to what we have planned. We have an 18-wheeler coming that's going to deliver 1,000 grocery boxes for families that we're going to distribute for free. And then we are planning to feed 2,000 hot meals for free to whoever comes. Single mothers, teenagers, children from broken homes, everything the enemy's ravaged, we're going to go in by the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost and see what I believe will be the greatest move of God that we've ever seen. Will you be a part of it? We are believing God for 300, an army of 300 workers. We need people that are committed to see revival sweep the cities of America, starting here in Philadelphia. Are you one of the 300? If you're watching the video still to this point, I believe that you are. If you want to get on board with what we're doing, the information's on your screen right now. Don't put it off 5 minutes. Contact us right now at Revival Today, and we're getting this set up as we go. In fact, as I'm shooting this, it's about 90 days away, so we're moving. And so all the information's on your screen. I really look forward to hearing from you today. I am Jonathan Shuttlesworth. Thank you for taking the time to watch, and thank you for being a part of Festival of Life Philadelphia, August 23rd through the 29th. I'll see you soon.
Praise God. So literally as soon as we finished the 9-day fast, within a couple of hours, we saw that video, and we knew that was an answer to our prayer. And we immediately looked at each other and said, that's the answer to our prayer. That's what God wants us to do to turn this nation around. And we immediately messaged Evangelist Jonathan and said, we're in. We had already been in communication with him, sharing testimony after testimony of healings and breakthroughs that God was doing through our lives since he had prayed with us. So we had we were able to communicate with him and immediately say, we're in. We're going to do this. And we didn't know how we were going to get to Philadelphia. We didn't have a car. We didn't have the funds to do so. We just knew that we had to take the step of faith and go. And we spent the entire summer focusing on that. We literally put all of our funds into getting ourselves to Nicetown. We would we started out as being part of the food distribution team. And we went there like a week prior to help pack the boxes. We went and bought one-way tickets, not knowing how we were going to get back home. And we were like, God, we're going to take the step of faith of going there. You're going to have to get us back home. And we're just going to totally trust in you because we know you're calling us to do this and we know you'll make a way. We literally got there. We found our way through public transportation, taking buses, trains, everything, every kind of transportation we could take to get there. And we're helping pack the boxes with food. And then one of the volunteers asked, like, oh, where are you from? And they were, and we told them, and at the end, the person ended up driving us from Philly all the way home. We didn't have to worry about train tickets. He drove us all the way home that day. Then for the week of Nicetown, we went, and again, we bought one-way tickets there. We didn't know how we were going to get back home. By the end of the week, we... The last night, Friday night, was a celebration service that they had because the city had cut the permit short by a day. And so we were at a hotel, and we were down to maybe like 30, 40 bucks left in our account. We gave it towards offering. We had just enough money to take a cab back to the hotel. We didn't know how we were going to get to the volunteer breakfast Saturday morning. There was no way for us to get home. We didn't have tickets to get back to New York. And we were just like, God, it's in your hands. Saturday morning, I wake up. And I failed to check the account, and we had money in our account. Esmond's check that wasn't due to arrive until the following Tuesday arrived Saturday morning, which doesn't happen. You don't get your check like 3-4 days early, let alone on a Saturday morning. And I was like, honey, we have money in our account. We can go to the breakfast and we can go home. And God continued doing that miracle after miracle. Every time we stepped out and did an FOL, God always provided. And we, since then, we've done about 8 FOLs. We did Nice Town. Then 2016, we did Vineland. Another one in Philadelphia, Kensington, and Clarksburg. And then we did the Barbados FOL in 2017. And that's where God gave us the final confirmation for us to go to River Bible Institute. And we spoke with Jonathan, with Evangelist Jonathan, and let him know that we really felt the confirmation. And he had us make the announcement in Barbados. So that was the first time that we went public with the announcement, literally like a day after speaking to him about it. Our family didn't know about it yet. Our bosses didn't know about it yet. And it was being broadcasted on Facebook and YouTube, and we didn't know who was going to end up seeing it. He ended up having us share our testimony and as to the work we've done with him and how God has worked in our lives and how God has provided both through healing and finances and all kinds of miracles that we saw happen during that time. And then after Barbados, we came here to Allentown for the Allentown FOL, which is where we met Pastor Ralph and Pastor Pat and Mom and Dad, as we call them. And they've been a huge blessing to our lives and a huge support throughout this journey. And we started River Bible Institute last year. Some of the miracles that we saw with the FOLs, I mean, there's more than what we can count, but some of the big ones are when we were in the food distribution team, we literally saw the food multiply before our eyes. Like, there was a biblical food multiplication that happened. We were literally, it was Thursday night, we had one more round of food to distribute, but there was more people online than we had food in the truck. We were maybe down to 3 rows of food from floor to ceiling in the truck. And we were like, God, there's not enough food, but there has to be enough food because we promised them food. And we know you're not going to make us out to be a liar. You're not going to embarrass us. We came here to bless this community. This food is going to multiply so that every single person in that line will be able to get fed. We prayed over the boxes of food, and we just started bringing the boxes out. And occasionally, the person in charge of food distribution was like, how many rows do we have left? And it was like, we have 2 rows. No, wait, hold on. No, there's 3. There's still 3 rows. And it's kind of like, you can understand if there's like 12 versus 11, people miscounting, but how do you count between miscount 2 versus 3? That's like pretty plain to see. And we were like, what is going on? Like, but we kept bringing the boxes out. And then again, a few minutes later, how many rows do we have left? We still have 2 rows. No, there's still 3. All right, keep pulling them out. And we keep giving them out, and the people just keep coming. The line was down for blocks, all the way down to like the overpass. And we just kept pulling them out, and there was always 3 rows still there. And then we had 2 kids from the community that were helping to give out boxes, so we separated 2 boxes for them specifically. And until finally every single person got a box, and when the final person came to the line, the final box got put in their hands, and there was still the boxes for the 2 young boys and another box left over of food. praise God. And then we had, there was this man that received healing who had a titanium rod in his neck. And he had just gotten out of jail. He had gotten put in jail for being a drunk driver, being the drunk driver in the drunk driving accident where his entire family was killed. And he came out of jail, gave his heart, came to the crusade, gave his heart to the Lord, and God healed him right there on the spot. And he, with a titanium rod in his back, he was jumping and bending over and running all over the place and was completely healed. And you could visibly see him shaking up at the altar as God was like touching him and healing him. And so many accounts have been given like that of miracles and healings that have taken place through the FOLs. And then we get to RBI, and we start doing even more. Now we're not just in the food distribution. Now we're not just helping with registration and registration team leaders. Now we're actually going out and doing soul winning ourselves, and we're actually going out and helping with outreaches and tent crusades and all different forms of evangelism. And it's something that I never thought that I would see myself doing. I never considered myself, you know, so many times we think that, you know, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a minister, that's not my job, I'm just here sitting in the pew, coming to church, I don't have a calling on my life, you know, I don't have the capability of winning someone to the Lord, of evangelizing. But in reality, every single Christian is called to evangelize. Every single Christian is called to win souls. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, how can you not share that with those around you? Once you experience the love of God in your life, and you've been forgiven of your sins, and you've been transformed by the power and love of God, how can you not share that with those around you? How can you not share that with your friends and family? How can you not share that with your neighbors and your coworkers? You know, can you seriously sit there and watch a coworker or a friend or family member go to hell because you're too scared to share the gospel with them? You know, if you love them,
Iria raka sandara rakende re araka sandara rake. If you love them, you will tell them the love of God. You will show them the love of God. You will be the love of God. Thank you.
Mark 16:15 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Go ye into all the world. You go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't say, "Go ye evangelist." It doesn't say, "Go ye pastor." It doesn't say, "Go ye minister." It says, "You go and preach the good news of Jesus Christ to every creature." It's the responsibility of every single Christian to do so. You can't have the love of God in you and not want to share that love with others and not want to be that love to others. You know, as I've listened in on some of the Bible studies and hearing Pastor Ralph share about the love of Jesus and how we, you know, Jesus resides in you. And wherever you go, you take heaven with you. And wherever you go, heaven is present. Where there is heaven, there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no poverty. When Jesus died on the cross and he said, "It is finished," he means everything was finished. Everything that we could ever need in every area of our lives was provided for on that cross. our forgiveness of sin, our healing, our prosperity, our the strength to the ability to share that love with others that was provided for you on that cross. So there's no excuse to say I'm too shy to talk to someone about God. There's no excuse to say I'm not capable of doing so, because everyone can share the love of Christ. As you draw closer to God and have your own personal relationship with God, that love of God will automatically come out of you. When you learn who you are in Christ and your identity in Christ, you will be able to stand in that authority, knowing that you're seated on the right hand of the side of the Father, that knowing that every victory that you could ever need has already been provided to you, knowing that Satan is under your feet. So therefore, Satan can't attack you if he's under your feet. If he's under your feet and you're stomping on him, how can he attack you and keep you bound? So there are several areas of evangelism that we do in RBI. The first one is your soul winning, which is direct one-on-one, talking to individuals about the Lord. We do it in several ways, knocking door to door, going from house to house and literally knocking on people's doors and sharing the gospel with them. We've gone into malls and parking lots and share the love of Christ in the parking lot as they're coming out of the stores. On bus terminals, hopping on buses and praying for people before the bus takes off. And which means you have to really condense your prayer to like get out there and get out before the bus leaves with you in it. So the Lord impressed on one of the pastors in the river to create the gospel soul winning script. And it was first used in Good News New York when Pastor Rodney came to New York and was speaking at the Madison Square Garden. And, you know, they were praying, like, God, how can we reach the people of New York? And God put the script on one of the pastor's hearts, and they wrote it up and gave it to the team, and they've been using it ever since. And it's a very simple tool that anyone can use to bring someone to the Lord. You know, if you know, most people wonder, like, what, I don't know what to say when I approach someone. I don't know what to do. I don't know the Bible very well. I don't, you know, people come up with all kinds of reasons to say, like, why they don't feel confident to speak to someone about the Lord. This breaks it down for you. You literally can just read it. Like, literally read it to a person. And it brings all of the points, the main points that people need to know. And it takes you out of the picture, because you're putting a demand on the Holy Spirit and on the Word of God. And it takes the attention off of you, because people are like, oh, what's that card that they're holding in their hand? And you can actually read it with them. And as you're reading the scriptures, you can have them actually read it with you. And so it takes the pressure off of you and just puts it on the Word of God, and just allows the anointing to work without you having to think about what to say, without getting into theological debates about with people. And I'm just going to just quickly read it to you. And it brings the main points home. Has anyone ever told you that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? That kind of stops people in their tracks. Like, huh, has anyone ever told me? Some people would be like, yeah, you know, and other people will say, you know what, no one ever has told me that. And I'm always stunned when I hear people say, no one has ever told me that God loves me and has a wonderful plan for my life. That breaks my heart every single time. And to know that you could potentially be the first person who's telling that to someone and they've never heard of it before. Which just shows you, as you do this more and more, how many people out there truly need Jesus and how there is a lack of laborers out there. because there are people going to hell every day because people aren't stepping up to evangelize. The next question is, you know, I have a real quick but important question to ask you. If you were to die this very second, do you know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you would go to heaven? And again, that gets people thinking, because those are two questions that people usually tend to avoid. And when you approach them with it, it kind of just stops them in their track. And some of them are like, yeah, I think I'll go to heaven. And when you ask them why, they're like, oh, well, because, you know, my grandmother prays for me and I go to church for Christmas and, you know, I do a lot of good things. So I think I'm going to heaven. You know, and other people are like, I honestly don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. And then you share with them. Let me quickly share with you what the Holy Bible reads. And you read, it reads, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible also reads, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you're whosoever, right? You're a person. We're all people. So you fall under that category. Jesus came and died for you. I'm going to say a quick prayer for you. And you say this with your whole heart when you're praying for them. You don't make it a religious thing where you're saying a prayer to say a prayer. You know, when you say it under the anointing and when you really mean it, you know, the Holy Spirit truly moves in this person's heart. Lord, bless John and his family with long and healthy life. Jesus, make yourself real to him and do a quick work in his heart. If John has not received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, I pray he will do so now. John, if you would like to receive the gift that God has for you today, say this after me with your heart and lips out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart, and you have them repeat the prayer with you. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. Set me free. Jesus, thank you that you died for me. I believe that you are risen from the dead and that you're coming back again for me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and fire. Give me a passion for the lost, a hunger for the things of God, and a holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. And then you say to them, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I tell you today that all of your sins are forgiven. And always remember to run to God and not from God, because he loves you and has a great plan for your life. And when you tell a person that all of your sins are forgiven, you see this like weight lift off of them. And we've seen so many people get set free. Like you see them, like literally their countenance change in front of you. And some of them will be weeping and some of them will be have a smile on their face. When you talk to them, they were like grumpy and kind of like, well, I don't really have time to talk. I have to let go. But the Holy Spirit arrests them and they can't. And they find themselves like wanting to hear more, even though they claim to be in a rush to have to go somewhere. And we've seen people set free and delivered. Usually afterwards, we will pray for them for healing, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that they can be sealed with the fire of God and have that hunger and boldness to seek God and hear God for themselves. And so God has used it very powerfully. And at first, when we started using it, I was very skeptical myself. Like, you seriously mean, like, I feel like kind of foolish, like just reading it. But it literally works. And we'll talk more about it in the training. But just wanted to share that with all of you. So if you're not, don't know what to say, you can literally go through that with them and see people come to the Lord. And the thing is, if you're concerned about people saying, like, well, how do I know they're really saved? If they don't want to say the prayer, they won't say the prayer. We've had people tell us, no, thank you very much. I'm not interested. But if they're saying it, it's because they actually feel the desire to do so, even if they seem kind of guarded or reluctant. If they don't want to say it, they won't. If they're saying it, it's because their spirit is telling them there's something that they need to do, even if their flesh is trying to resist it. Soul winning is the number one thing that we do. And then we do soul winning, of course, in the nursing homes, where we go into nursing homes, and we've seen so many people set free and delivered in nursing homes. We've had testimonies of people getting discharged from nursing homes because they were healed and didn't need to be in the nursing home anymore. I've prayed for people in the nursing home who've gotten baptized with the Holy Spirit instantly. I've prayed for people who've gotten healed. One recent nursing home trip, in that one trip, I prayed for three people whose ears were opened, who were deaf. And I prayed for their ears first, because if they can't hear me talk to them, how can they receive Jesus? So I was like, no, devil, I'm not going to let this person go without, you know, hearing about Jesus' love and mercy and salvation. And I knew enough sign language to sign to them to let them know that, hi, I'm here to talk to you about Jesus. Can I pray for your ears? And they would actually nod, like, enthusiastically, like, yes, please do so. And I put my hands on their ears and rebuked the spirit of deafness and spirit of deaf and dumb spirit. And their ears instantly opened, and I could tell because they responded. And I was like, can you hear me? And they're nodding. They're like, yes, I can hear you. And I would make sure that they actually could hear me. And then I would end up speaking to them and leading them to the Lord and praying with them. And they would receive Jesus into their heart. So I've seen that happen. In one day, it happened three times. And we're in the nursing home for like an hour, hour and a half. And with like nine people that I prayed for, three of them, deaf ears opened. We've seen people who were having knee problems get up from their wheelchairs and healed from their knees. And they're like happy and rejoicing and like walking around and dancing and saying like, oh my God, the pain is gone. And we've had so many testimonials of healings taking place in the nursing homes. I remember there was one person we were witnessing to on the street, and we were witnessing to someone, and Esmond spotted this guy who was walking down the block, and he was like, hun, when we're done with her, we need to go speak to him. We went around the corner and found him sitting on some steps by a house, and we started speaking to him, witnessed to him, led him to the Lord. And then I asked him, do you have any pain in your body? And he's like, yeah, my back has been hurting really badly. And he worked in like construction type work. And we prayed for him, and he was instantly healed. And he got up from the stairs and started walking around and started lifting cement blocks off the floor. And he's like, I'm great. And he started crying, and he was like, thank you so much. You were sent here like by God. You've blessed my life so much, and I can't thank you enough for coming. Like, you came at just the right time. Another man I was witnessing to in the Walmart parking lot. I didn't think he was going to pay me any mind. He was putting his cart away and heading to his car, and I just kept talking to him and kept going through the script. And he actually, and this is why it's important to like just keep going, even if you think they're not listening to you, because as he was putting the cart away and walks to his car, he opens the car door and sits in the driver's seat and stays sitting there listening to me as I continue to talk to him, and ends up giving his heart to the Lord. And afterwards, I ask him if he needs prayer for anything else, and he was like, no, you've done what you were supposed to do. And you answered my prayer. I was praying to God this morning for some specific things, and you just answered my prayer. And I don't need anything else. I'm good. Like, you did your job. You did what you were supposed to do. And I left him like crying in tears, because I thought this man was going to completely ignore me and brush me away and say no thank you and drive off, as other people have. And he actually sat there and received Christ, and it turns out that that's what he was praying for that morning, for God to show himself to him. And you come across so many divine appointments that you would never thought would take place. We've also participated in outreaches and tent crusades with the communities, where we reach out to particular neighborhoods. We've done it with El Rio, with the Spanish church, as well as with the English church. And one of the ways that they do the outreaches is they usually flyer ahead of time to the entire community, letting them know that there's going to be an event at a particular location. We usually try to get like a park or a parking lot, some type of an open space near you know, like a mall or a residential area where there's lots of people, that's easily accessible to people. And we usually put in some giveaways that are a blessing to the community. Like, we'll give away some bill pays that could help people towards like paying the rent, and have like clothes for people who need clothes, and have some food available for them. And you know, people will come out of curiosity, and you know, maybe they're in desperate financial need, and or you know, praying that they end up getting a bill pay. But you know, they get there, maybe some of them may come initially for the giveaways, but then we start talking to them about the Lord and speaking to them about Christ and sharing our testimonies. And an event that started out being about giveaways ends up ending with an altar call and people giving their hearts to the Lord. And these outreaches have been anywhere from, you know, 20 people showing up to 100 to 500 people showing up, and, you know, having multitudes of people give their hearts to the Lord. If you could show the, not the Lakeland video, the other one, and then you could do the Lakeland back right after that.
From sea to shining sea, and every city and every town and every village of this great country will be shaken by the mighty hand of God.
This next video that's going to be put up is, you can see the progression of how the outreaches in 10 Crusades are growing from being smaller groups to being larger groups in parks. This next one in Lakeland is actually being done in a stadium.
I'm believing that everywhere you go, in the city, places will be shaken.
So hungry for a greater measure. For a greater measure. And I'll find in all of heaven wrote your name.
Praise God. As you can see how, as the Lord uses you, you start out small, you know, and you may originally start out just doing an outreach with 5 people, 10 people, but it grows. And as you show yourself faithful, God gives you the ability to do more and more, and you find yourself in front of larger and larger crowds. And now the outreaches have gotten to the point, to that capacity, where now you have thousands showing up. And they stand there, even when it's pouring rain, and even when the pastors try to be considerate and try to cut the service short and go straight to the altar call to get people out of the rain. They don't want to leave because they have such a hunger and such a need, and they've realized that God is there and that that's what they've been looking for their entire life, that they'll stand there through the rain and as they see the anointing of God falling on them, and they're falling out into falling out on outside, falling into mud and into puddles. But they don't care because they just feel the presence of God so strongly, and they know that that's what they've been waiting for their entire lives. And there's a ton more I can share, but I'm going to let Esmond speak to close out.
Wasn't she, isn't she special? It was really important that, that, you know, a lot of times, sometimes, you know, people are getting impatient and will say, like, oh, don't talk too long, shorten it or whatever. And it's sometimes you just need to take time to let God, let the Holy Spirit do what he does. And I really felt like, you know, she really needed to share what's been happening, because you're not going to see it on Fox News. You're not going to see it on CNN. You know, YouTube is not gonna be the suggestive videos for YouTube. it's not gonna come up on Instagram. So it's good to hear what God is doing, but it's happening. And these are real people, real testimonies. These things are really happening. And I just want to talk briefly about the why we do what we do. And I'm going to be coming from the book of Psalm, chapter 90. I'll share the verse in a minute, but just let me know when you're there. While you're doing that, I was born in Brooklyn, but if you hear a slight accent, that's because my mom is from Barbados, and that's where I was raised. And the accent is something I can't get rid of, even if I wanted to. And the funny thing about Barbados is that it's a small island, 166 square miles, 21 miles north to south, and everyone knows everyone. You have lifelong friends, or what I would call generational friends, meaning that not just you were friends with that person, but your parents were friends. The parents grew up together, went to school together, and know each other. And I have an older cousin named Matthew, and we are always very close. And I remember that there was a friend of his that everyone, his nickname, I don't remember his real name, but I know his nickname was Strings. And Matthew and Strings, they grew up together, went to school together, you know, did everything together. And I remember there was a day where they were coming home from work. And the national sport for us, one of our favorite sports is, you guys call it soccer, we call it football. And they were talking and having fun. And they said, oh, we're going to meet each other. And after work, you know, we go home and change. We meet each other at the local soccer field and we watch the local game together. So Strains got off the public transportation first, and my cousin got off 5 minutes later. And so my cousin goes home, and he's taking a shower, changing and stuff like that, getting ready to go out and have a good time. And he hears my aunt scream. Didn't pay any mind. We always felt like my aunt is always a screamer and always yelling about something, so we just stand to tune her out. But when my uncle spoke, we paid attention. But my aunt kept screaming, and I'm telling it because this is the first-hand account. My cousin was retelling this story to me, and then she called. She's like, Matthew, come out quickly. And he was like, what happened? She was like, your friend Strings is dead. See, what happened was when Strings got off the van, he ran into his girlfriend's brother, who didn't want them to be in a relationship. Things got heated, and the brother killed Matthew's friend. Just like that. He's supposed to be meeting my cousin on the soccer field. So it says in verse 12 of Psalms 90, So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The value of time. And that's why we do what we do, because time. You see, time is more costly than you think. When I first started out in college, going back to school back in 2011, my first class was basic microeconomics. And they talked about accounting costs and true costs. And accounting costs is just what it costs, what it costs. But economists, they calculated opportunity costs. Cost plus opportunity costs, meaning that, okay, what you're doing and what you could have been doing with that same time. What you could have been doing with that same time. Time is costly, meaning that the times that we choose to do things that don't matter. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with recreational and stuff like that, but if that's all we do, what else could have we been doing with that time? Maybe if we just miss one game on a Sunday, maybe if we decide, you know what, let me go and share the gospel with my neighbor instead of just going to the game. It's time. And then with time, it has to be used effectively. Like my wife shared, the Bible says to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye, go you, go all of us, not just the pastor, not just the ushers, not just the evangelists, but all of us. And that's what we're supposed to spend our time doing. The time we have here on earth, is to be spent pursuing the things of God. We're supposed to be about our Father's business. God gave us gifts and he made us a gift. Wherever he placed you, you're the gift. Then the Bible says he's given some apostles, he's given some prophets, some evangelists. He's talking about people. Because people change this, is in control of this realm. When Satan wants to affect something in the neighborhood, he sends a person. When God wants to make a change, he sends a person. And isn't it funny, if you look at people who are doing things for the kingdom of Satan, how dedicated they are. They'll miss the game because they are dedicated to causing chaos, to causing destruction. Like the people who go out and they cause riots, then most of the time they're like, they're for it. Let's scatter, let's go, let's do it. Even more so us in the kingdom, we have to use our time effectively. I understand that I'm not preaching against recreational time with family or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. It's just that we are called to be soul winners. It's an any person job. It's an every person job. We are all called to it. And then more importantly about time, it will run out. The last sand will go through the hourglass. I wonder what would have happened if Strings knew this was the last day of his life. What would he have done differently? I wonder if Matthew would have known that this had been the last day that he would have seen his friend. What would he have done differently? Oh, everyone mourned him. All his friends became pallbearers at his funeral and carried his coffin. They named the local soccer team after him for that season. But in the light of eternity, what does that really mean? What's the value? What if the person who God tells you to reach out to, what if it's their last day? I've heard countless stories of people saying, I shared the gospel with this person, and then they died the next day. What if it's their last day? What if it's yours? What if this is your only chance to do something for God? Because we are going to be held accountable for the words we say, the things that we do for God. God has given us gifts, talents, and ability, and we can monetize it and support our families, but we also are called to use those gifts to further his kingdom. It's about the kingdom, kingdom business. And everything we do has to revolve around that. we have to be willing to give it all for him. And that's the why, because of time. Because I remember my mentor once said to me, he always used to say, we are more time poor than anything else. As in, there's more of a need for time. Actually, you hear what people lament more, isn't not so much as money, they lament the time that they wasted. And they always say, especially someone that come out of a bad relationship, the most thing that they cry about is the time, the years I put into this. I can't believe I wasted my time. They might say money as well, but they say, my time was wasted. Actually, there's nothing more agitating to the average person as their time being wasted. We check our watch more than we check our wallet. We look at the time more than anything, that as opposed to logging into our bank account to see what we have. We're always checking the time. And we all have an eternal clock in us, and it's the time that we have, the time that he put us in this realm, this finite time, what are we going to do with it? And that's all my wife and I were looking to do, is just use our time for whatever God wants us to do. That pouring out the new wine is about pouring out into the lives of people. Not for people to admire, so look at the color of that wine. Look how it pours out. It's so robust. Smells great. No, it's to pour into the lives of other people. Because as we pour into the lives of other people, God pours into us. Our lives are about people, because people matter, because people were created in God's image. He died for them. Like he died for us, he died for them. And they matter. And they may not look like us. They may not sound like us. But the very people, I remember sharing the gospel to someone who wasn't even wearing a shirt. And at first, I didn't want to approach him. But after he accepted Jesus, the first thing he did was he put on a shirt. And they said, no, you need to put on the shirt now because, you know, my wife is there and this is disrespectful. No, it's you put on the shirt. See, people matter. One of our alums from RBI, someone shared the gospel with him. He was laying on a bridge. He was homeless, kicked out of his family's house. And now he's an evangelist. He's on fire out there winning the lost. This can be any of us. Any of us. And bow your head, close your eyes. I'm going to call on a group of people. If this pertains to you, you can raise your hands. You can come on up or you can stand out of your seat. But if you're in this place, and one, you've never quite made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you've come to church your whole life, or maybe it's your first time here, you never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you can raise your hand, you can stand now. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior and you backslide, there's a hurt feeling or whatever, someone did you something and you're just not doing it anymore. You can still come back because there's still time. You can raise your hand and stand. Or maybe you're just not sure. Maybe you're not sure that if this was the very last time you laid your head on the pillow tonight and not wake up, maybe you're not sure where you're standing, turning. Maybe Satan is lying to you, saying, well, you're not perfect, you don't do enough, and it's 50-50 chance, it's a toss-up. You can be sure. You can know. You can stand. You can raise your hands. And Amhan, you can come on. Or maybe you are saved and you've been serving the Lord, but you feel like you need to do more. Maybe you feel like you haven't done enough. Maybe it's burning on your heart that you want to do more for God. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. If you want to, all I said to God was, God, whatever you have for this country, if it involves me, I'm game, I'm down. And that was all I needed to say. But if you want to be used more of God, you can come on up, you can stand, we want to pray with you. Pastors will pray with you as well. There's anyone here, you can stand, you can come up.
In addition, we also want to pray for anyone who has a desire to be used of God, but maybe you've been hesitating because of fears, of insecurities, or just feeling you're not good enough, feeling you're not worthy enough. But you know that God has a call on your life, and you know that God wants to use you mightily. And maybe what you saw today touched you or confirmed things that God has been speaking to you that he wants you to do. Maybe you want to go to another level in your relationship with God. Maybe you want God to take you to other levels spiritually to be able to do more for God's kingdom and to give you that boldness that to be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to not have fear hold you back from speaking to someone about the love of Christ. If that applies to you and you want to come up front, we can pray for you as well. Iria rakende re araka santa. Iria rakende re araka santa rake. One day I was in, we were in service, in a youth service, and there was youth testifying of how they were going into high schools and colleges and winning the lost and bringing their classmates to the Lord and seeing miracle signs and wonders taking place in the colleges and in the high schools. And God began to speak to me as I'm sitting there listening to them saying, you know, so many people think that there's nothing left to do for America, that America has just rebelled and that, you know, there's nothing to be done. And that, but God was showing me through these youth teenagers who were winning the lost and having a boldness to preach the gospel to the classmates and seeing entire schools and colleges shaken. You know, so many times, you know, society and the media will make it seem like it's not possible. Like you can't go into a public school, like you can't go into a university to win the lost and actually see results and they're going to shut you down. But we've been seeing the opposite. We've been seeing schools being shaken by the power of God. We've been seeing universities being shaken by the power of God with people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit inside the school with miracle signs and wonders happening inside the school with Bible studies starting up inside the school. Things that people said could never happen. Things that people said could never take place. We're seeing it happen. So despite what society tries to make you think that it's too late for America, that there's nothing left for the church to do, that is a total lie of the enemy because there's so much work for us to do. There's so many people that are hungry, that are seeking the Lord, that have an emptiness inside and don't know what it is until you present Christ to them. The difference is that they don't want an imposter. They want the true love of God. And they can tell the difference when you're just showing off to them and being religious versus when you're actually demonstrating the true love of God. And when they see the true love of God inside of you, they have to respond to that because they know that that's what they've been desiring. And that's one thing that God was telling me, that people out there in the world who are hurting, they're looking for genuineness. They're looking for a genuine love of God. And when they find that in you, they will respond. So as you walk in love with God and you allow God's love to shine through you, know that God will move. And as you take that step of faith to reach out to people, people will respond and the Holy Spirit will back you up. And as you preach the word of God, miracle signs and wonders will follow because miracle signs and wonders confirm the word of God. We just have to take the step of faith to say, God, I'm here. Use me. I will do your work. And as you take that step of faith, you will start seeing things that you never thought you could see before. We never saw ourselves doing what we're doing now. And we didn't think that we would be capable of doing these things. But because we've stepped out in faith and know that God and said, God, we want to be used of you. We've been seeing God work in miraculous ways. And he can do it through you. It's not just for God to do it through us. He can do it through every single person who's here. You just have to be willing to say, Lord, use me. And we're going to pray for everyone, for everyone here to go to a new level in Christ, to be used of the Lord.
Amen. Everyone lift their hands.
Dear precious and heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you giving you thanks and praise, Lord God, for these young people who are here, Lord Father. Thank you, Lord God, for their hungry hearts, Lord God, to serve you. Thank you, Lord God, for the love that you shower them with, Lord God, every single day, Lord Father. Father, I thank you for doing a great work through them, Lord God, that from this moment forward, they will see increase in their lives like never before. Lord God, thank you, Lord God, for giving them boldness, Lord God, greater boldness than they ever thought they could have, Lord Father, in Jesus' name to be used for your glory, Lord God. We've seen how the youth have been used in Tampa, Lord God, for great miracle signs and wonders, and we declare it starting here right now, Lord Father, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that from the moment that they step out through these doors, Lord Father, in Jesus' name, their boldness will increase to them, Lord Father. Your Holy Spirit and anointing, Lord God, will be even more evident, Lord Father, that everyone that they speak to, Lord God, may feel your love radiating through them, Lord God, that they will see people come to know you as Lord and Savior, Lord God, that they will be able to bring multitudes into this church, Lord God, to praise and worship your name, Lord God, that they will see miracle signs and wonders, Lord God, as they lay hands on the sick, Lord God, as they pray for those that need to be set free, Lord Father, that they will be used mightily as they step forth, Lord God. We know how hungry they are to do your work, Lord God, and to see you work through them, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, for using them to shake this town, Lord God, for shaking Allentown and Bethlehem, the Lehigh Valley, Lord Father, and in every area that they step foot in, Lord Father, shall be one for your glory, Lord God, that your love will radiate through them, Lord God, like never before, Lord Father, that heaven will be with them, Lord God, everywhere they go, Lord God, and we know that heaven is with them now, Lord Father, but the people will feel the presence so much stronger, Lord God, that every place where they go to, they will take territory, Lord God, and that they will change communities, Lord God, and complete areas, Lord God, rather than areas changing them, that they will change communities, Lord Father, that they will bring change to their universities, to their high schools, to their colleges, Lord God, they will bring change to their jobs, Lord Father, in Jesus' name. Bible studies will rise up, Lord God. Everywhere they go, Lord God, healings will take place. People will be set free, Lord Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, for using them mightily right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for hearing testimony after testimony of miracle signs and wonders coming forth, Lord Father, for this town and for this city and this area being shaken for your glory, Lord God, for revival being brought to this area through these young people, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for victory in every area of their lives, Lord God. I thank you for increase, for promotion, Lord Father, in each and every single one of them, Lord God. And we call it done, Lord Father. And we thank you, Lord Father, for being with them. In Jesus' name, amen.